Welcome to a random episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends destined together to defeat the mighty Cabal Legion. As always, I am your happy farmer, Zach.
Well, fuck.
I am the nonconformist who refuses to ever play that fucking game, Steven.
I guess I am the spelunking dungeon crawler, Zach.
And
we know that's, we gotta design our roles once that co-op comes out.
Yeah, dude, I would. So
if
you guys
be fighting over the farming,
literally last Friday, was it Friday when Kayla was over? That
she came weekend. Over Friday night, and then Saturday is when you got super excited.
Oh, is that yeah. my okay?
That was your freak out of, oh my god, life is perfect.
September 29th, 8 p.m. Ty Yuri makes the tweet that Stardew Valley was submitted for its final stages for the Nintendo Switch. And the internet lost their fucking mind. And
including you, because you took it as a...
It's out right now,
yeah,
I thought.
Or whatever tweet you read was like, oh my god, it's out right now.
Yeah.
And flipped out while we were watching something.
The Peggy people, like the people that do like the ESRB ratings, rated it as
Peggy
a Peggy 7.
16.
And they put on their website the release date was September 29th. So that's why I freaked out. And I'm like, oh my god, it's out right now. And then, you know, Reddit told me it wasn't.
No, it's a week later.
But Stardew Valley was on the front page of Reddit this morning with 18,000 upvotes and like 2,000 comments.
The game sold, like a million copies?
First thing this morning, it was whoever the developer dude is.
Tyree.
Yes. He came out and said, big announcement coming.
It wasn't confirmed date.
For Stardew?
It was the people who were porting the game over. So it was Tyree, not Concerned Ape.
But either him or Concerned Ape or someone said, big announcement for Stardew Valley coming later this afternoon. Internet exploded. And then you shared us the picture at like, what, noon, 1 o'clock?
Of the official release
date.
Yeah,
of the official release date of October 5th. And you're like, well, see you guys never after Thursday.
Yeah, I made the tweet. It's like I'm saying goodbye to my girlfriend and my roommates preemptively. I'll miss all of you.
Part of me actually got a little concerned when I saw that. I'm like, what is he talking about? Oh, right.
And of course.
Quote tweet. Got it.
Of course. They
so it's
release
like,
it on my fucking birthday.
Happy birthday. I'll buy it for you.
No.
So great. Time management's my kink. Anyways, it's funny because I mentioned it during the middle of like Jim was like, yeah, we should do the wit raid every single week. And I'm like, is what happened to Destiny last time for me was that Dragon Age came out around the same time. And I'm like, I guess I'm not playing Destiny anymore because Stardew.
The universe is saying, no, you're never going to play it.
My Destiny time is about to be severely cut down as well.
Because you guys are done with the raid. And then you're starting that new Xbox game.
Yes, Battle Chasers Night War.
Yeah.
By
what?
Joe Mad.
The fuck is that?
So, Joe, forget how to pronounce last name because everyone calls him Joe Mad. It's like Madriani or something like that. He was the artist for X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, and I think Astonishing X-Men in the early 90s. And after that, about 1998, he went and did an indie comic. You know, did the art for it, wrote the story, all of that, called Battle Chasers. Which is essentially D&D on steroids. Like, he took a lot of inspiration from Dungeons & Dragons and made this whole giant fantasy world full of the tropes, all of that. It was supposed to be a monthly release. Shit happened to that. It postponed everything to where he only got 9 issues out in a 14, 16 month time span. And the comic was put on hiatus. An issue has not come out since then. He went on to found
Justice before its time.
He went on to found Vigil Games, people who did Darksiders.
Okay.
Darksiders 1 and 2. He co-founded that company and did all the artwork for it. And
was Darksiders 2 by Vigil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Darksiders,
I wasn't sure if they saw the property got sold when THQ went under.
Yeah, no. It was still Vigil Games. THQ Nordic didn't go under until after Darksiders 2.
Ah, okay.
But after Darksiders 2, a while after, he made a Kickstarter for a game he wanted to make called Battle Chasers Night War, which was, I'm not sure if it's a continuation of the story or a side story or what's going on, but it got funded super quick, and it is now coming out on all the platforms. It's supposed to come out on Switch, too. That's what I was going to get it on, but those fuckers at Unity keep fucking with things, and now it got delayed.
So, diving into this, Joe Mad, originally, the Battle Chasers was originally published underneath Wildstorm, under the Cliffhanger imprint founded by Mad and J. Scott Campbell and Humberto Ramos. The series then moved to Image in 2001. So, the last issue, issue 9, came out in 2001, Cliffhanger ending that was never concluded as 10 was never released because Joe Mad left the comic industry to pursue a career as a video game designer.
However, with the Battle Chasers Kickstarter, he did say he wants to continue the series, and he's going to use this as a jumping-off platform to release 10 and try and finish out the story.
Yep, so issue 10 starting directly where issue 9 ended, and two more issues as part of a three-part story arc sometime after the release of Night War in October 2017. And conceptually, it does take place in the same universe.
Yes, I'm just not sure if it's like supposed to be continuing after 9 in between 10, even though 10 picks up right where, or if it's supposed to be like after the story's over, or if it's a side story, like just a side project sort of thing.
Yeah, all it says on his Wikipedia is that his studio Airship Syndicate, located in Austin, is, and the video game is just set to be in the same conceptual universe. So
yeah, it has to take place somewhere like mid-series because the whole gang is together already, which they don't actually meet up until like issue 4 or 5.
It's like Rat Queens,
but yeah, a little bit. It's already, like, reviews are already coming out. People have already gotten, like, early keys and all of that. And it's getting fantastic reviews, like, 7.5s to 10s. And
so what's the... Is the game a... Is it a turn-based? Is it isometric?
So...
Like, what am I looking at here?
Joe Mad did an interview where he said he took a lot of influence for making this from JRPGs, specifically Final Fantasy.
Okay.
So it is straight-up turn-based. It has the order, which... To tell you that it's based a lot off of D&D, your turn order instead of speed, it's your initiative.
Nice. Nerds.
Another game like that I'm kind of interested in playing is Divinity 2, because I've heard it's just straight up amazing.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the new Original Sin? I've heard a lot of good things about the game, too, except, like, the fact, like, the you... There's actually, like, an RPG editor mode in Divinity Original Sin 2, and people have straight up made the starter set D&D campaign. Like, Matt Mercer and Wizards of the Coast teamed up to make the campaign inside Divinity.
That's pretty dope.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah,
so... Fuck all this tabletop stuff. Let's get computers in here. Get some monitors. We'll all play D&D on computer.
Yeah, so it's a... correct me if I'm wrong, but Divinity is a dungeon crawler, right? Top
yes.
down.
Yes. It's like a throwback to like Baldur's Gate. And
right. We have, like that. You and I have at least the first game on our Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
We got it probably like down games.
I think
of
I
Gold,
got it for like 10 or you bought it. Yeah. I got it like 10 bucks on Steam and got it on sale on Xbox too.
And I heard like it is like true to the core of D&D. Like if you play a rogue, you can actually like pickpocket your teammates mid game and do things like that. And I'm
what
like,
a dick.
Oh man. Wait till Jim finds out he can do that.
And I remember, like, the first Original Sin was a crowdfunded project.
Yep.
I think they did the same thing with the second one, but they also put it into early access. I'm going to double check that.
Well, at first I got the game mixed up with another Dungeon Crawler series. I just forgot the name. Echo Draconis. Because I think the subtitle for the second one had something to do with, like, divine something.
Right.
I was like, I remember playing the demo for the first game. It wasn't that great. But looking at it, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, they did kickstart it, Original Sin 2. And they didn't make the release date on time. Or I think it might have been, like, a week delayed, if anything.
Oh, my God.
Very few Kickstarters actually make their...
2 million pledged. Insane.
Well, it's if you think about it, like Kickstarter in and of itself now is just like a pre-order website.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, it just still doesn't guarantee that you're going to get the project.
Yeah, like Ant Simulator happened and didn't actually happen.
I don't know if you guys saw, but the Ruby game got more stretch goals.
Yeah, like actual miniature figures instead of the cardboard.
Oh, nice.
And then if you get to the, like, they added, like, booster packs, a Mercury and Emerald.
More villain packs.
Yep, Mercury and Emerald. The Penny one now comes with a miniature, too. I hope it gets to those levels.
So those of you that aren't familiar, Ruby, it's a show developed by Rooster Teeth. It's like the quote-unquote anime of the Western culture.
Hashtag not an anime.
They made a board game. It's a cooperative board game where you play as the four main girls, and you just fight things. But it's like, there's
co-op. It's like that co-op board game.
Yeah, it's a co-op competitive, not co-op competitive, but like, co-op, you have a certain goal you need to achieve.
Yeah, it's a co-op deck building game where you have a deck, you play cards in a certain way based on the enemy, and you try and get to a goal.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me want to get more board games. Like, when we have our lulls for D&D, just invite who's available and we can play another board game.
Said I'm probably going to back it.
Yeah, and there's so many of them. Like, there's this League of Legends one I heard about where you fight the minions.
Yeah, Mechs minions. Yep. The game's fucking expensive, though. It's like 100-something bucks.
Because you get, like, all of your things are die-cast and painted already, and it's like, shit. God damn it. But that's not for me right
now. Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to play League to really enjoy that game, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a bunch of ones that I would just love to sit down and play with everyone else in our D&D group.
If we ever had time to get together.
Shout out to Juliana, who's in London.
And Angelica, who's in LA.
Shout out to Jim for coming over Saturday night to go play Destiny with you guys.
Though. I was saying, like, I figured we were just going to do like normal, everyone just meets on Xbox Live, and then Jim calls me. He's like, hey, I know with my lab, can I still come over? I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was funny because, like, we joked around about the whole thing. It's like, yeah, you should just come over, we'll have a sleepover. And, you know, I'm off with Kayla doing things for my dad's birthday, and then I'm like, why is Jim's car here? And then I pull in and I just hear Jim from upstairs, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's probably on Zach's TV or something. And then, you know, Kayla and I are going to bed, and I'm like, I wonder if Jim's still here. And I just hear, woo! And I'm like, yep, Jim's still here. I kind of half expected him to be like on the couch in the morning.
I thought too, but then he said he forgot all of his, like, his toothbrush and contact stuff and all of his nightly toiletries.
We can all just share one toothbrush. We already do that anyways. Well,
and you saw Jim's new plan, right?
No.
So he wants to do that again, but this time have Adam come over as well. Just have all four of us playing in the same house.
Fuck.
Goodbye, internet.
It's like
connection.
A cool LAN party. And meanwhile, I'll be sitting off to the side. I'm like, guys, I just got a giant pumpkin. This is the best thing ever. The fairy visited me last night.
Yeah, us shouting like, all right, platforms, go, go, go. I'm farming.
Yay. I was so close.
It's almost like one of those memes of just like everything is on fire behind you, and you're just staring at your screen. Like, this is fine. Everything is happy.
Yay.
Well, that's how I felt listening to you guys play the raid. Like, I'm grading papers, and every so often I'll talk to Steve in between like your guys' resets, and I'm like, how's it going? And then Steve was just silent. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll go back to grading. Catch you later, buddy.
That raid was dumb. So glitchy.
Our rando, not Koala.
Not Koala.
Koala was awesome because, he was Australian as fuck, and he knew what he was doing. But the other guy, he consistently had terrible damage numbers. Like, you look at all of ours.
Are you talking about the first night?
No, second night. Or when we finished it yesterday.
Did he have damage?
He had terrible damage. Like, when you look at our numbers.
He only got to, 300,000.
Yeah, it was, like, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, 500,000, 238.
Meanwhile, I was literally getting 700K every single round.
I was consistently at least getting 600,000 on, like, not great rounds. And when we were all like, oh, I'm going to switch to the cold heart. It works so well. He's like, you had the cold heart and didn't use it? And then afterwards, I looked at his loadout. It's like, I had a multi-tool, a random auto rifle, a rocket launcher. I'm like, you weren't using the cold heart yourself? We could have two-waved him, man. That's why you're only getting 300,000.
Makes so much sense.
Well, it's like,
apparently Sweet Business is like really good. So I was doing fine.
I saw one where it was like, if the Sweet Business with the right perks and everything easily can get 1,000,000 damage, like on a not good run.
So I will say that even though I'm not really super hard into Destiny like you guys are, just because I'm kind of, and it's through a fault of my own, I'm not at that social aspect like everyone else is, but
I leveled up by myself.
I know, and it's like
same here. That's like in between playing with Jim and Adam randomly.
Yeah. But I really have dug how they've made a storyline and everything else, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
They're trying to shove away so much Destiny 1 stuff after pre-Taken King.
It's what, I don't want to say it's what Destiny 1 should have been from the beginning, because there's no way they could have gotten what this is from the very beginning.
I think this was their original intention.
Well, Taken King was what they probably wanted Destiny 1 to be. This Destiny 2 is what should have been from the Taken King's place onward.
Yeah, even, I mean, listening to just like the story, like reading summaries of it and everything on the internet, or watching lore videos, I'm like, wow, this is actually really cool. But I don't know, my big gripe is like, there's something about most shooters where I just play them and I don't really pay too much attention to the story. Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, do Modern Warfare's original story. I'm like, I played it, I wasn't too invested in it. And it's just like, I don't know if that's me not being attached to the characters. Like, I'm so goddamn invested in Master Chief at this point because I've been playing Master Chief for a decade. But any other character that's like, here's your character, they have no backstory other than they woke up in a car. I'm like, okay, neat.
They're space zombie.
You are the last guardian. You have lights.
You.
But he golden gunned six times, and I can only golden gun three.
That was like my theory of like how the actual story of Destiny 2 goes. You go to the Shard of the Traveler, get your light back, and you're like, you are the last guardian with your light, and you fly away. Meanwhile, another one flies in. You are the last guardian with your light. Flies away, another one comes in. You are the last guardian. It's just an endless cycle.
I mean,
of
it's
that.
It's MMO syndrome where it's like you're reading the text of like a quest line. It's like, well, you are the only one who could save us, and there was like 50 other people talking to same person.
I saw a,
it's like in The Division where everyone's still in the line. Yeah.
I found a great video of like RPG quest rewards in a nutshell, of like someone completes a quest because it's this guy's like, here, I want to give you this reward, this ring. It's the only one of its kind, been in my family for generations, forged in the great fires of this mountain. It's like, so, keep it keep it safe. And someone walks up right next to him like, this is my family's ring. Just looking at the other adventures like, the only one of its kind.
Forged in the fires of hell. Says hell on my hand. And I mean, you can circumvent that so easily, saying you and your fellow heroes. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's other people out there that are special just like me. But it's like, Destiny relies on you being so special. And I just wish that my guardian fucking talked. Like, that would make me bond with him so much more.
They only needed six voice actors. That's it.
Six or Troy Baker.
Troy Baker could have been three of them.
Troy Baker and or Nolan North and or Matt Mercer. They're interchangeable at this
All
point.
All three of them could have been just the male.
I mean, we already have Nolan North in the game.
Now, who would be the female?
Laura Bailey. Ashley. Oh, man. Ashley Burch would have been entertaining.
That would have been great.
Who am I thinking of? Ashley Johnson.
I'm still behind
just
on
have
games,
all the
though.
Critical Role people to come and do it.
Ashley Burch was on a couple special episodes of Critical Role.
Yep.
In the one shots.
All right, and so speaking of video games and keeping up with the ones that we haven't played,
what about
Cuphead
the Kardashians? Do we have to keep up with them?
No, fuck them.
One of them is pregnant. That's all I know.
Kylie Jenner.
I just see jokes about how she doesn't understand how being pregnant works too. So that's great.
Anyways, Cuphead came
about
out.
About more important things.
And that was our 30-second talk about the Kardashians. You'll never get that again.
Good.
Because fuck them.
Cuphead came out.
They're only famous because one of them got fucked by a famous guy.
You know what else is going to fuck you up is Cuphead.
And I've watched people play it. Mm-hmm. It's legitimately hard. It's like, I remember the first time I picked up Shovel Knight, and I'm like, fuck, this game is hard.
It is the definition of a
harder than Shovel Knight.
But the game is, it came out pretty damn well. Like, the way it looks, that's fucking cool.
The visuals, the sheer stylistic.
The visuals are beautiful.
The music is amazing.
Just how it has that old-timey 1940s cartoon look of, like, even when it's, like, no matter what the screen, it always has, like, the static on it. Like, the chops of the film. It's like, that is a very neat touch that was not necessary.
Yeah, it's like, just listening to people talk about it, it's like, Cuphead amazes me. It used to be, like, Boss Battle Simulator, and then people actually added crap to it. But it's the sheer fact that we have a computer rendering these things for us now versus, you know, Mr. Old Walt Disney and his team sitting down with a pen and paper.
Well, the reason shading everything. Cuphead that took so long is because they actually hand drew everything.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it took so long and it looks as good as it did.
Yeah, it's all hand shaded cells, which but is yeah, that astounding game. In itself.
The game is insanely hard from what I've been watching.
Like, I watched, like, the very first level, I watched a couple guys do it, and they died, like, 5 times each.
There was one streamer I was watching that had a death count. And it was up to, like, 160 by chapter, or world 2.
But, I mean, once you get used to it, I think someone completed the game in, like, 10, 12 hours. Like, they were like, first things first, X button and shoot, that's bullshit, remap it to trigger. And yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I think I saw someone on Twitter's like, if you want to save your hands, remap this thing first thing.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, instead of pressing X, you know, trigger is a lot better. It's like in your JRPGs where circle or B is always your attack button, and you just mash it the entire time.
Like Final Fantasy 15, where I literally mapped the attack button, or no, the lock-on button to one of my paddles because I couldn't, like, contort my hands, be like, all right, attack, lock on, hit that button.
Did you see Final Fantasy 15 is actually getting new story? Like, other than the Ignis DLC, there's new free DLC? No, there's new free story missions coming out.
Oh shit.
That are taking place in between stuff. So, like, the Ignis DLC, it's you and Ravis teaming up together during the whole Leviathan arc. And then there's gonna be more story. I don't know if they're cutscenes or playable things, but there's new scenes with Lunafreya and new scenes with Genetea.
The Lady Lunafreya.
And I'm like,
Genetea?
Genitalia.
The wolf dog.
Yes.
The one that
the crazy appearing lady.
The Umbra. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool that they're still adding stuff to this game. It shows really how far invested they were in the world of 15. Granted, like, there's the Pocket Edition, then there's the like the Brave Exius, not Brave Exius, like the Clash of Clans looking one, and like a bunch of others. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, I can't wait to go fishing in VR.
And they did officially announce that Noctis will be in Dissidia, which I am super pumped for because I love the Dissidia.
I mean, of all the new cool characters,
still happen. Is Dissidia like? Isn't that from like 2010?
This is their third title.
So yeah, they had it. Well, fourth technically, because they had it on the PSP. They had two of them on the PSP. Then they had an arcade only version in Japan, and now they're coming out with like a console version on the PS4, which looks so sick.
Have you ever played any of them?
I vaguely remember playing the PSP ones.
Those were
hard.
Legitimately fun and hard. Yeah. Like, I remember sitting there, I'm like, oh my god, imagine Final Fantasy would be like this one day. And you know what it is? This is Final Fantasy now.
Well, and I flipped my shit when the second one came out, because I was like, oh, I love Dissidia, it's so good. And then Duodecim came out. Literally the only change, they added three characters. They added Garbanth, I think his name is, the bad guy from 12. They added Lightning, and everyone's favorite character, Shantotto.
Who?
Final Fantasy 11.
Oh.
She is the bringer of hell, to be perfectly honest. She's in World of Final Fantasy. She straight up, like, poisons your characters. Like, she's a boss battle that you are meant to lose in one turn. Oh, and I'm like, always love those. She's not to be trifled with.
Yeah, Shantotto is not just a hellspawn. She is hell incarnate.
Have you guys actually gotten mad at, like, games, or not games like that, but, like, fights you're actually supposed to lose and you have no idea? So it's like you're sitting there for hour, like, not hours, but, like, a good 10 minutes.
Yeah. I like when they actually, like, hint that it's supposed to be a scripted loss.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I'm like, all right, this dude's super powerful. I think I'm supposed to win, so I'll attack and like keep
right.
tossing items until they're like, all right, Ulta Mega Hell Bomb of Death. I'm like, oh, that insta-killed me. Oh, it goes to a cutscene now. Huh, scripted loss.
One of the nice things, though, about the Dissidia games, too, is that they actually had story.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, all these heroes must team up to save Cid of this world, because Cid is the only thing that matters in Final Fantasy. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Well, no, it was...
Well, Dissidia 12 was that. Yeah, to save Cid.
Yeah, but the first one was the Goddess of Order and the God of Chaos were able to pick champions to come fight for their side. And there's straight up a way, like, I think in Duodecium, that if you select an option, you immediately go into a fight with the God of Chaos and get your ass handed to you. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to choose that option, champ.
Put you in your place early on.
Yeah, and then it takes you back to that choice. I'm like, try again.
Me. Yeah, Dissidia Final Fantasy NT is what the new one's called.
Neat.
It's a long-ass name.
Going back to what I was mentioning about scripted deaths, though. Freaking Hellblade. Love the game, but at the last boss battle is a scripted death.
Yeah.
You have no hint. You just enemies keep spawning. Yeah. I got to a point where I cleared out all the enemies. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go hit the boss now. And then like 50 enemies. More spawn. I'm just like, what? I've been doing this for 10 minutes. How is this not done yet? And then I died. Almost threw my controller because I sat there for 10 minutes killing shit.
And then a cutscene started.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, of course. It's scripted death.
I found, like, the best thing on Amazon I thought about getting for you, but it's, like, little, not even plush controllers, but it's little rubber ones that are meant to be thrown. Because I remember...
I remember
when you started playing Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, I intentionally put
a pillow next to our TV.
So I could throw the controller into it.
Mine was, like, I would always start to get ready to throw the controller. I was like, no, set it down, and then punch something. I was like... All right, pillow. All right, I'm good.
Oh, God. Anyways, Cuphead's cool.
We're still keeping in context so that, like, yeah. Things that are going to fuck us up and make us rage.
Well, okay, so I also learned that the new Dissidia NT is actually the arcade version.
Okay, so it's just essentially a port
with new characters. Yeah.
Like Noctis.
Yeah.
Like this.
So, speaking of things being ported.
I have to know.
Is the sombrero coming back?
Is Shantotto still on the cast?
I'll look it up.
I don't think you understand how fucking amazing Shantotto is.
I want to look up a picture of this Shantotto.
Mostly because...
You should look at the chibi version from World of Final Fantasy.
Mostly because Screw Attack, back when they
oh,
were...
Oh, it's that fucker!
Yeah, Shantotto.
But, that fucker.
That thing brings hell?
Yes.
It's like one of the strongest mages in all of Final Fantasy.
And she knows it and flaunts it. But there was a Screw Attack video years ago, back when a mobile game called Final Fantasy All the Bravest came out.
Great game.
No, not a great game. It was so microtransaction heavy. And...
Also, NBA 2K.
Shantotto is in the game.
Yes. But there was one where it's like you can pay to get like mystery boxes with a character in it. It's like $1 for a character, $1 for a character. You want Cloud? Fuck it. You get Shantotto. Who? From Final Fantasy XI. Oh.
They have Razma from Final Fantasy Tactics in the game. That's awesome.
Fuck yeah.
And Ace from Type Zero.
I was going to say, I think they put Ace in there also.
Oh, nice.
Spiritus and Materia, Ace. But they're non-playable. Noctis, Yshtal. I don't fucking know how to say this. It's the CPU character from 14. Lightning, Van, Shantotto, Titus Ject, T-Dane, Kuja, Squall.
Squall!
Ultimecia.
Ultimecia.
Yeah. Cloud, Sephiroth, Terra, Kefka.
Kefka, the literal Palazzo demon from 6. Final Fantasy.
Bartz, X-Death. Oh, God. Cecil, Kane.
Oh, fuck yeah, Kane.
Currently unreleased, possibly October 2017 for Golbez. Onion Knight, Cloud of Darkness, Spirion, the Emperor, Warrior of Light,
and Garden. It's got a Dark Souls crossover, too? Or is there
Onion Knight came before Dark Souls, homie.
Yeah, Onion Knight was Final Fantasy OG, and then everyone else did it.
Okay. What? I can't remember. Was that our Final Fantasy 1?
Onion Knight, that was 2, I think.
Well, because I know they number them fucking weird in America. Like
three,
four...
three is the f-
six.
What is it? Is it six?
Three is six.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Japan six was our three.
And then they eventually like renumbered them to the Japan numbers.
Yeah, when they re-released
the correct numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cuphead.
Cuphead.
But it's like Dissidia was one of those games that was like, "Fuck you, I'm hard," and it's like, "Shit, Sephiroth just destroyed me."
It was
again.
Hard until you learned how to just fuck everyone up, because like I had it down to a science of like, "All right, I'm just gonna kick your ass." Oh look, the super meter's there. Bink. Super move.
I feel
I win.
Like people just want. I've been just wanting harder games. Well, not everybody, but there's those communities that just like
fuck you. I play Stardew Valley.
So
they just want them all the time.
So
it's
what
like
of
the Dark Souls people?
One of the summer animes I watched was called Gamers, and they put it so perfectly. There is a large group of gamers that are low key masochists. You want that harder difficulty, even if it's like the most challenging thing. You put yourself through the pain, even if no matter how many times you see that game over screen.
It's like, I'm going to beat you
because
will not defeat
it gets that sense of accomplishment of the second you beat it, I'm like,
yes,
fuck
yes,
yeah.
It does.
I win, like, fucking veteran on Mile High Club.
Yeah, I...
6 hours of my life I will never get back across two
when
games.
When I'm upstairs grading, which is very rare because I don't like being in my room while I grade because I just want, like, ooh, distractions everywhere. But it's like I can hear everyone through the vents. Like I hear Steve through the floor.
I also leave my door open.
And I can hear Zach. But it was great just listening to Zach play through Nier. And it's like, fuck you! And I'm like, oh, all right. I'm just going to keep playing Stardew Valley.
Because
I
he
guess.
Was like, all right, the first two playthroughs, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. The boss battles gave me a little trouble here and there. Fucking playthrough three. All right, here's 15 enemies, they're super powerful, you get stunned, you're dead. Have
I'm
fun.
Like, oh, how long have you been on this level? An hour. What level is this? The first? I'm like, oh, okay. I'll
this
leave you
like,
alone.
It literally is just like, all right, we're done here. We're going to kick you in the chest and go, no breaks anymore. We're fully uncocked now.
But Zach, the cock has to be unlocked.
It has to be locked to defeat that boss.
Hashtag... The cock is unlocked.
You don't understand.
You understand. That
I
was
don't.
Our mantra
that's what,
to finish the raid.
Yeah, that's how we beat it.
Because we were all getting so frustrated, and Adam, being Adam, comes out of nowhere and is like, all right, guys, the dick did not click, so we must put the cock on lock. And that started our mantra of hashtag cock on lock. And that's when we beat the raid.
I feel like that's like his house sigil. Like
just the dick.
It's house Adam.
It's a blurred penis. And then it's
can
the
you
cock
make that,
unlock.
Please?
House Adam, the cock is unlocked.
Can you please make that?
Maybe we'll see.
Here's a I already got it for you.
It's
a blur.
It's a rooster.
It's a blue. No. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, that and then a lock around it. Just
a,
like
a rooster
lock.
With like a padlock necklace. The cock is unlocked.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing.
Speaking of things locked down, possibly being locked down, Bad Robot and J.J. Abrams have picked up your name.
Leave it alone.
No! No, 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 no. It does not need to be remade. It has not even been a fucking year. Why?
Here's the biggest problem I have with it. Anime to live action, for the most part, has not worked.
But what about Naruto the Musical?
Can't okay.
You say with the straight face.
But there is one example that kind of defies that now. Apparently, the Tokyo Ghoul live action adaptation.
Live action for that?
The Japanese
yeah, it
one.
Just came
okay.
out. A Japanese
yes, the
live action.
The Japanese one.
Was
that
fantastic.
One, they understand what they're doing. All the Western live action ones have been like.
Dude,
ah.
But Detective Pikachu starring Danny DeVito, hopefully, cross my fingers.
Please do it.
My biggest
Nintendo.
Issue, and I kind of agree with some of the people who
Mr.
are like
Nintendo.
Work in like animation, is like the fact that they want to make this live action is kind of an insult to the fact that it was animated in the first place. Because that movie is fucking gorgeous from what I've seen.
Like, I could understand if it was a movie from 10, 15 years ago. But it's like if Disney was like, hey, what if we make a live action Moana?
Eventually.
Why?
Well, I mean, Disney's doing that right now. They're working on live-action Lion King, but I see what you're right.
Lion King is 20 years old.
Well, yeah, like the
25 years old, actually.
The older films. Like, you know, we get a live-action Aladdin, live-action Lion King.
That's fine, because it's you bringing that story to a new generation who may or may not have seen it. Yes, that is...
I just imagine Kayla ranting about Beauty and the Beast right now.
That could be the same with, you know, J.J. Abrams wants to bring the story to a non-anime-watching audience. I would love for a non-anime-watching audience to see it, but in the animation works so well with it, it doesn't need to be remade into a live action version.
The only thing that like gives it any small amount of hope is the people working on it. You have one of the actual producers on it, Genki Kawamura and Eric Heiser, Heiser, who worked on Arrival. So it's like, all right, you have people who have done good things before.
But one name you don't see on that list is the creator. Actual
creator.
Makoto Shinkai is nowhere on any of the official statements of he's working on this. So the one person whose main opinion would matter of, yeah, this works, is not involved in the project.
Well, in the same vein, J.J. Abrams really does respect all the things he does eventually adapt. Like, I mean, look at the first Star Wars. He builds another Death Star, respecting the fourth movie really well. And then his Star Trek trilogy did bring Star Trek to a new audience. But I totally understand what you mean about the anime being so recent.
Yeah, and again, Star Wars. Let's see, episode 3 was...
2007?
So 10 years ago. The last...
Prequel memes are the fucking best.
The last Star Trek movie was like 15 years ago. So it's something that the newer generation... Like, I only saw before Abrams Star Trek, the only Star Trek movie I actually saw was the last New Generation one. And then I went back later and watched some of the other ones, like Wrath of Khan and
Search for Spock. The only one I ever watched was 4, and I was fucking...
That was like, the whales, right?
Yeah, yep. Fucking space whales. And I, like, the last, like, 2 or 3 people I dated, including Kayla, are all, like, huge Star Trek nerds, and I just escaped watching it somehow.
I'm sure they're called Trekkies.
That was not a good movie.
No, it wasn't.
I do give J.J. Abrams some good credit. Like I said, he is brilliant at taking new ideas and kind of doing his own version, but Your Name is something I do think that should just be left alone. Like, I have full trust in the fact that Abrams could do a good job, but I understand, like, this huge outpour of, like, internet, like, just please don't do this.
It doesn't need to be done.
No.
And
you have a perfectly great piece of work already here.
There are, leave it alone. Like, there are ways that he can twist it to be in a Western setting.
I just no, for what, like, you, I'll let you explain it because you're the one who put it pretty well.
A big part of it has to do with Japanese culture and Shintoism. The main female lead dislikes her life because she is forced to be a Shinto shrine maiden, and that is a huge, huge part of the movie. In fact, it's what makes the climax of the movie actually work because of the Shinto religion.
And I didn't come up with that. Like, when I did my huge, like, this is what's going to happen.
No. That I don't think you could have fucking predicted in a million goddamn years, because I didn't even know that was going to happen when I was watching. I was
like, what if Loki Zack somehow has, like, he like gets bootleg copies and just watches it before he tells you, just to ruin
just to
your
really split. Fuck with people.
Yeah. I'm still fucking pissed about that. Like, you don't understand. Like,
well, it's like me calling out what was gonna happen in Spider-Man like an entire month out before the release, and I'm telling people at Denver Comic-Con, and people are like, I don't want to go into that movie and go, like, fucking Zach was right.
Which is why I told you to tell me nothing. Like, don't tell me your guess for Kingsman. Don't tell me your guess for Guardians 2. I want to go into those fresh and not want your evil polluting my mind. Because you know what? You were goddamn right with Kingsman. You sent me a timed text.
That's my new favorite thing to do, actually, is send people a timed text before they go to a movie.
Of like,
or if we're in the same movie together.
Credits rolling. I pull out my phone. I'm like, all right, let's fucking see it. I see the first 3 words. I'm like, son of a bitch. Because I could already tell what the rest of the sentence is going to be. It's like, this asshole.
Again, the whole first part of the message was, if you think Channing Tatum's going to be in this movie, ha.
Well, no, it was literally the breakdown of the... Yeah, but it's like, either this person's going to do this. I'm like, I hate you.
The only movie I'm not going to do this for is Justice League. I don't want to think about Justice League other than the first trailer. I don't want to ruin it
even
for myself.
Even though we watched the first two.
Well, I mean, the second one was like, it's still more action-based. There's not a story trailer like how the past couple of Thor movies were. But even then, Taika Waititi's so out of left field with the stuff he writes. Knows. It's like...
Did he actually write it? I thought he was just directing.
He directed, and he... I mean, directors do some co-writes in it.
I'll find it.
And he's also in the movie, because that's what Taika Waititi does. He just stars in every movie he does, which is a really cool concept.
Screenplay by Eric Pearson.
So you would be happy. I'm going through and watching Jack's old Sky Factory stuff, like just from the beginning, because I caught like 5 minutes into one of his streams, and he just like did a quick look around of all of his stuff. I'm like, holy shit, I need to see how he got here. Watching Sky Factory has become my new thing. Like, I just love watching
it. It's really
it.
Just like pleasant.
Yeah. Like so watching everything go from a tree to full automation of everything and fucking dragons. Jack's got dragons. Yeah. But on the second episode, Katie was on there and they were doing something. And out of left field, she makes a What We Do in the Shadows reference.
And I think Jack Patil, who works for Rooster Teeth/Achievement Hunter, he's like a really big movie buff. And he and I have like really similar taste in movies. So usually if he brings up something like, I would not have gone out of my way to watch What We Do in Shadows without him, or even Popstar. It was because of Jack talking about it all the goddamn time.
What made me side with Jack on things is he was the only person at Rooster Teeth to be excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. Same as me when I'm sitting there like, fucking Guardians of the Galaxy! Like, why do you care about that? You don't understand!
Did you guys notice with Generations, like Richard Rider and Sam are both on the Generations poster that Alex Ross did, and they're the only book that hasn't been released. There's 11 pairs of characters, and they don't have their own Generations title because Nova got canceled and it's being folded into Guardians for some reason, which sucks. I liked Nova. Sam was pretty sweet. And Richard Rider, God, Richard Rider had some of the most badass scenes ripping Annihilus's freaking spine out.
Speaking of things that didn't get canceled though,
I don't even think this got canceled. It got announced.
I said but, didn't get canceled. Yeah.
Old Man Hawkeye.
When do we get the Old Man Jenkins series?
I'm wondering, it's like, so Old Man Hawkeye is being penned by the same guy who's writing the Captain Phasma series, which explores how she got from trash compactor to out of the planet before it explodes. Spoilers for Force Awakens. But
how dare you ruin a movie that's 2 years old.
Yeah,
now.
So like the whole premise, it takes place 5 years before Old Man Logan, and it's about Hawkeye trying to do one final mission, and he has to cope with the whole idea that he's losing his eyesight and he can't really go on these superhero shenanigans anymore. And it makes me wonder, like, at what point are we gonna get like an Old Man universe, kind of like how DC has their DC does their multiverses, and it's like Grant Morrison wrote all the one-shots for Multiversity as things people can pick up on, or if he ever wants to return back to those books, he can write them. And I'm like, okay, we got Old Man Logan. Old Man Hawkeye is 5 years after. Then the current Old Man Logan series with Bendis and Jeff Lemire takes place afterwards. So, like, when are we going to get, like, Old Man Spider-Man? Or, actually, Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe again takes place in the same continuity as the Old Man Logan universe for like an issue.
What?
Yeah. Because it's when all the villains team up to overthrow all the Marvel heroes, and one of the ways they do it is they use Deadpool. They brainwash him into becoming the Deadpool killing machine again. And I'm like, an Old Man Deadpool series would actually be really cool, because if it's very like self-reflective, him looking at all of his losses and what he's done to the Marvel universe might be a really cool thing. And him trying to redeem himself, which is the total opposite of what Deadpool's doing right now. Because it's like, I've been betrayed by the person I trusted the most, Steve Rogers, and now I am the mean Deadpool again. And like, he's just an assassin, straight up. He's like, he's not the ha-ha humor anti-villain anymore. He's just like, done being the butt of everyone's joke and like pissed off at the world. like Marvel Legacy had a great thing of like him doing like a whole confessional scene while he's on a toilet and he's just getting shot up. I'm like, all right, this is the Deadpool universe.
Did you send me the thing that they did, the whole Superman saves the girl from suicide
with Deadpool?
Yeah. Was that Chip Zdarsky or who did that?
Gary Duggan.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Where, like,
was this a current issue?
I think so.
Okay.
Because Gary Duggan's the only one who's wrote Deadpool since like All New, All Different. You okay there, Steve?
Thinking about something real quick.
Old man.
Uh huh.
He wants his old man universe.
I've got it.
The OMCU, Old Man Cinematic Universe.
The Avengeriatrics.
Can't wait till they team up with the homeless Avengers and the all nude mutants.
Marvel, we have the dicks planned for you.
That one took me a second to piece it all together.
It's a little too long.
I was trying to find the perfect pun that just flows, and the old man crossover event can just be the Avengeriatrics.
All right, I'm gonna have to write that one down. That's the episode title. Done.
God. So, with the whole old man Hawkeye in the story, Hawkeye is losing his vision and sort of forces him to confront something horrible that happened to him personally 45 years ago and go on his own hero's journey while he still can. It's very much like a ticking clock that's forcing him into action. And it shows old man Logan on the cover. Clint Barton was blind due to glaucoma. Okay.
That shit'll get you.
Of all the things.
Yeah, so...
Goddamn glaucoma!
I didn't get my weed!
Axel Alonso came out and said, Old Man Hawkeye is on its own terms, an epic story. Readers will gain insight into previously established characters, explore new corners of the wasteland, and meet new characters and discover exciting Easter eggs all throughout Clint's journey.
I want Marvel to stop using the words epic and groundbreaking and
events.
Change will change everything.
Every issue is an event, no.
But they're doing Avengers Disassembled 2, combining Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, and the third fucking Avengers title, whatever that fucking thing is. And it's like, all the Avengers are teaming up for the first time ever in this 12-part maxi series. And it's a weekly series at $3.99. I'm like, I think I like team-up books, but like...
I think I might trade weight on that one.
Yeah, and...
Trade weight or omnibus, whatever the fuck they're going to do with it.
Deluxe hardcover edition. Can't wait for the 5 tie-ins to that one.
Coming this spring, Civil War 3.
But again, it's like...
This time, it's uncivil.
Again, it's like everyone joking around. It's like, okay, so this is Avengers Disassembled 2. We already did Civil War 2. We already did Secret Wars 2. So is Nick Spencer going to come back after 6 months and Secret Empire 2 starts?
Oh, no.
Where Steve-El becomes Red Skull?
Wasn't that technically what Secret Empire was? Just Secret Empire 2?
Well, because there was the original Secret Empire where Richard Nixon was the bad guy.
Yep. We made that joke on the podcast.
Yep. It's a throwback.
Shout out to Steve-El Nixon. But again, I'm like, at this point, I'm sitting here looking at Marvel continuity, and reading Legacy wasn't that bad because it was Jason Aaron's. He does not write bad comics. He does a really good internal monologue for all of his characters, like Lady Thor, his work on Southern Bastards and Scalped. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm kind of excited about all these new Marvel events because every comic is an event, but it's like, oh man, the return of Jean Grey. Oh man, this character returned. Oh man, these characters returned. I'm like, well, why did you write them off in the first place?
Can't wait for them to die in 6 months at an event.
It's like how Detective Comics is like, I had to explain this to you last night. Like, they reached back to the year 2003 to something Jeff Johns wrote. And it was actually Jeff Johns' idea to use that character again, which we'll talk about later, I suppose. But yeah, I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. Because it's like more lore rather than, oh, let's invent a brand new lore and explore those histories. But at the same time, it's like, Avengers 1 million BC actually seems like a cool idea. But they were maybe like the focus of 7 or 8 pages of the entire legacy thing. It's like, is Phoenix Thor's real mother? Why does Odin have Mjolnir? Why is Ghost Rider's mammoth dead?
You'll like, never know.
It got killed off panel, but he was used for the promotional art.
Do you think their next event will just be everyone being friends and getting along?
Avengers Assembled.
They already had that comic.
The actual Civil War, where everyone is civil to each other.
They go
and we all talk about our problems like adults instead of, I don't like what you say. I don't like what you say. Punch, punch, punch.
You know,
blast, blast, blast.
They go
in a coma. Oh, he did.
Brock Braddock. And they just do tea time.
You know, like how Miss Marvel kind of reconciled with Captain Marvel in Generations, even though they didn't have face-to-face confrontation, but Miss Marvel understood what went wrong.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Does it involve two heroes punching each other?
No.
Then
not at all.
Fuck it, it's not a Marvel event.
It was all internal dialogue.
Because let's see, Civil War heroes punching each other.
Secret Empire...
Heroes
more
punching each other.
And them getting killed.
Civil War 2. More punching. Someone didn't die. Or no, someone did die. And someone wound up in a coma.
And we'll talk about Legacy later because I'm the only one that read it. So I don't want to rant right now. But moving forward. Inhumans, not as bad as critics say? Question mark, exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark, ampersand.
So Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score, has it at a 4% now. It went up one whole percentage point.
Oh boy.
However, the audience viewing score, I think last time I looked, was a 60%. So
not
fantastic, but it's not awful.
I've heard it's just
it's because it's not about the Fantastic Four.
The only thing is...
It's inhuman.
Marvel is trying their damnedest to make Inhumans...
The new X-Men.
A-tier characters.
Yeah, but everybody just is like, no, just bring back the X-Men, please.
The Inhumans will never be A-list characters. They just... The way they're being written, they really can't.
Miss Marvel, I would disagree, but she's
but
an exception.
She's not. Yeah, she's
Karnak
not.
Is a great B-lister.
B-list.
The current Black Bolt series is actually really fucking great. Because
would you classify him as an A-list hero?
Almost.
Almost, but not A-list.
It was really funny because we were talking about this at work, and one of my teacher friends is like, I need you to help me plan my son's wedding because he kind of wants to do this whole superhero thing. And
say no more.
And it's like, but he's a really big Marvel guy. What kind of Marvel heroes are recognizable? And I just show her a picture. I'm like, can you name any of these characters? She's like, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor. And I'm like, can you name anyone else on this picture? She's like, no. I'm like, yeah, that's because they're not popular. And it's like, granted, there are those people out there. I love Karnak to death. He's one of my favorite characters ever. But I have this stupid need to want to love characters that appear in 10 issues or less.
I think the TV show would have been a lot better if they actually followed through and did the Inhumans movie first. Not just take the first couple episodes, call it an IMAX movie, and not even film it correctly. From what I heard, it wasn't even filmed properly for IMAX.
They just shot with an IMAX camera. That's the thing. And I agree with you. If it was an Inhumans movie where it starred Black Bolt and Medusa and they had a movie budget and then the Inhumans TV show would be like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Where they spun off doing like, what's the new Marvel comic? Secret Warriors right now, which is a team of Inhumans.
Yeah, with Quake and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah, they use that team for the TV show and then link the universes back together every so often.
Yeah. I think if they made the Inhumans a household name first, instead of just like a new Marvel series, Inhumans.
Black Bolt is a household name. They strapped into a satellite and then he yelled and blew New Attila back into the sky.
No, he whispered. We're talking about Ultimate Spider-Man, where they duct taped or spider webbed him to a fucking satellite on top of the Empire State Building, and he whispered peace, and New Attila's like, could have crashed into Earth.
Nope.
Nah.
Well,
he's just sitting there, like, just duct tape, like, peace.
I can't tell you how many characters from Inhumans have been outside and used in popular culture. Like, I think I remember Medusa being in, like, Marvel vs. Capcom, I think.
No.
No? Okay.
None of the Inhumans have been in Marvel vs. Capcom.
I don't think they've been around long enough.
They've been around, but not that long.
That goes to show of how unpopular they are.
They brought, like, C-list X-Men heroes into Marvel vs. Capcom before they brought Inhumans in.
It's kind of like one of those jokes. I showed someone a picture of Black Bolt. It's like, oh, is that Havoc's new costume? I'm like, what? No, Banshee from X-Men First Class. I'm like, no, that's a totally different character. But he has, like, the wings, and he screams and yells, right? I'm like...
He whispers.
You know, you're not wrong, but you're not right.
Oh, that's a TV series. I don't want the TV series.
Yeah, like when someone, like I can imagine the normal everyday Marvel watcher
since 1965.
If they heard Inhumans, like were those the guys that they focused a whole season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on? Wait, no, that's none of those guys. Who are these guys? I can see why people aren't too ready to go to watch it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too. I think it's part of Marvel's problem of, like, separating out all their things. And it's like, you know, Fantastic Four, that was their first appearance, like, in 1965.
1975, they got their first comic.
Yeah.
But they showed up in a Fantastic Four issue.
Yeah, 45.
Their first appearance was 1965, and then 1975 was what started.
Or if you look at the cover, it's Karnak just holding a giant boulder above his head.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to look if... So, animation. They first appeared in animation in 1978 in the Fantastic Four animated series.
Which makes sense.
And then 1994 again. They appeared in Hulk and the Agents of Smash. Ultimate Spider-Man, which you talked about, Guardians of the Galaxy. So a lot more recent, like newer things. And it's kind of that push for making them popular. They were in Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Black Bolt, Medusa, Gorgon, Karnak, Crystal, and Thane were unlockable characters.
What?
And they are also major characters in Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Ultimate Alliance 1 or 2? Because they were not unlockable in 1.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance, they appear, and then Marvel Avengers Alliance. My bad.
Avengers Alliance.
Which was the turn-based social network game.
Ah.
So, again, I do enjoy some of the Inhuman characters, but I just don't like the way that Marvel takes turns with their PR. And it's like, all right, we're going to make this giant push for the Inhumans. Okay, that didn't work out. Fox is developing this Gifted show that we approved of. Okay, let's go make a push for the X-Men again. And
apparently it's like, the Gifted is getting super high ratings too.
Dude, Polaris, Daughter of Magneto.
Like, I'm glad they're finally making like good X-Men shows, but at the same time, it's so late. Yeah, I'm very much tired of the mutants are, we got to go capture all the mutants. It's like, we've seen this before. Like, yeah, it looks kind of cool, but we've seen this storyline before.
You know what make it look cooler?
That's all the mutants do, though. The Inhuman, or not the mutants. The mutants always just get captured. That's their whole MO.
Like, you can deal with so many other social issues with mutants.
Like, Days of Future Past is my favorite X-Men movie. It wins mostly because of the Sentinels.
Because Days of Future Past was the most accurate story-wise, maybe?
Both James Apocalypse McAvoy. Wasn't good. And Patrick Stewart, and Ian McKellen, and Fassbender.
What? I think the problem with the X-Men movies is everyone wants them to be action movies, but that's never been what the X-Men really
or
are at
their the
core.
Fact they want them to be grounded. And it's like, look, if you give me the Dark Phoenix saga, do it right. Give me the giant fucking space alien bird. Mm-hmm. And don't be like, Jean Grey is just this Omega level mutant. Well, yeah, she is, but there's a goddamn giant space turkey.
Yeah.
God, that would be fucking amazing. The Dark Turkey saga. Instead of like a giant phoenix appearing fire, it's just a turkey. Not even a good turkey.
He's
like,
all dark meat.
Like the one that kids do in school where they just trace their hand and put a head on it. She's an Omega level mutant.
Oh, God, get the gravy.
It's the turkey fort.
God damn it.
It's way too late for us to be recording.
That would make that whole saga of the
Phoenix thumbnail is you just drawing it this week.
Oh, God.
Like, instead of the Phoenix Force, like, that whole arc, just the turkey force, and everyone just has, like, a giant turkey plume on them.
Oh, man, now I can't decide. Is it going to be the Avengeriatrix or the Dark Turkey saga? I can't even say it with straight face.
Oh, my God.
Marvel, do we have an idea for you?
We will save you.
Like, again, when she puts out her fire and it's in the shape of a phoenix, just imagine a giant, pudgy turkey. Oh, just...
Oh, that's that's rather underwhelming of when they said the most powerful force in the universe.
I'm working on it.
Oh, God. Just an army of turkeys by her side.
Oh, my God.
Psychic turkeys. Please, Marvel.
Oh, I can't do it.
So, fuck segues. What's the next one?
Perfect.
Send our thumbnail.
Send it. I might have to like quadruple the size of it to make it work, but I'll try.
Oh god damn it! Why?
I'll put it on top of a picture of the Phoenix, and it'll be fine.
It's just Jean Grey and the Dark Turkey next to each other. I drew angry eyes. So the next topic is us talking about John Williams. His Superman theme is coming back. For Justice League.
I wonder if Superman is going to be in the
Justice League movie is the worst kept secret ever.
Is it supposed to be a secret?
Not at this
point. You can't save the world alone. Or just like, the Y is like Aquaman's trident. So you can't Superman-ave the world alone. I don't know. But it's one of those things. It's like, oh, cool, Superman's in this movie. And everyone's like, well, yeah, they had to do the death and return of Superman, duh. And I'm like, well, yeah, Superman's in this movie. But it makes me fucking wonder, the whole original motto is, unite the seven. There's six characters.
Who is the seventh?
Green Lantern, Booster Gold.
Shazam!
I would see. I don't want Superman to be in the Justice League movie. I know he's going to have to be because it's the fucking Justice League. Can't have Justice League without Superman.
But I would have. They had Mon-El go in.
Or Kara show up just for some reason. Like, hey, I'm going to be your seventh for a little bit.
Red Lantern Ring.
Wow, Justice League took a turn quickly.
Oh, boy.
There has been no comic written better in the New 52 than Charles Soule's Red Lanterns. I'm like, I had the balls to go up to him. I'm like, you made Guy Gardner my favorite superhero. And he's like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I'm like, I really love Guy. And I love Ba-Ox. He's like, Ba-Ox always had the most interesting dialogue.
You get all the senpais to notice you.
Well, this was at Emerald City when I actually got to stand up and talk to
him. Well, and it's like when we met Nightwing.
Kyle Higgins?
Yes. When you just hand him a Nightwing and he's like, I'm gonna look through this real quick.
Do you mind if I look through this? I'm like, you wrote it. Just whatever, manhandle my comic.
And then
CGC, Kyle Higgins touched my comic. Sorry, it was unwitnessed.
Fuck!
Five. I'm like, shit.
Video, wait.
And then we got a whole story of what his plans for Nightwing were.
Yeah.
And like, just listening, and I was like, yes, give me that.
I do like but we have him doing New Order, and New Order has been fucking awesome. Definitely dig it. Anyways, Superman, he's back.
What a surprise.
Oh, yeah, my original point was I would have loved for Man of Steel 2 to be the return of Superman. Because we got the death. I would love to just have the movie start out with Steel, the Metropolis Kid, Cyborg Superman, just all of them already established, and then have Supes show up. She's like, yes, queen, yes.
Well, what if it's like he comes out to fight?
Wasn't that the problem with Return of Superman? Or Superman Returns?
He just disappears.
Yeah, he's like not even in the movie half the time.
Well, canonically it takes place after like 2 when he just flies off to restore his energy in the sun. And then he finally comes back to Earth and Lois has a kid and it's his kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Brandon Routh one.
Yeah, where they... Lex cut the brakes for Mercy's car, and then Superman has to come and save the day. Although that's the only scene I remember other than
the eye.
I will say, Kevin Spacey, fantastic Lex Luthor.
Throw him into Batman v Supes. I would have loved to see that.
Again, if they just said, Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor Jr.
Problem solved.
Done. Just make some throwaway comment about Lex Luthor, his papa.
Yeah.
And just be done. Like, look, this ain't your daddy's Lex Luthor.
It's kind of the same vein of, like, we get, like, the hints of Norman Osborn in Amazing Spider-Man. But it's, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think because there was, like, a really weird press statement of, like, how the DCEU movies aren't going to be, like, super connected. They want to be all of them to be able to stand alone before they all kind of, like, jump in together.
You kind of threw that away with Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad.
Well, I mean, Wonder Woman in and of itself is a standalone movie other than Bruce Wayne setting up the narration.
Right, or like, I guess Suicide Squad could be a standalone movie if you take away the end credit scene. If it's just, yeah, Batman shows up, he just so happens to be Batfleck, but that doesn't mean they're connected.
Yeah.
Then that'd be one thing, but then when the end credit scene is just straight up like, yep, this is set up for Justice League.
Well, I think the way that it was worded, people took it way out of context. It's like, oh, so you're just going to throw away the garbage DC movies and say they aren't canon. Well, no, they want to. It's kind of like what Marvel did originally with all their phase movies, which, I mean, Marvel does their live action movies right, where they let each hero stand alone. But then we end up with like, oh man, Spider-Man Homecoming starring Iron Man. I'm like, Iron Man did not need to be in this movie at all.
I disagree, but that's...
I mean, partially. But it's like, I would have... It took way too much Iron Man time and not enough my Peter Parker time. Even though they're in the same scenes. But it's like, yeah, show the connected universe, awesome. Give me the Baxter Building / Oscorp for Avengers Tower.
/ Wayne Tower.
Yeah, Wayne Tower. And it's like, slowly but surely, have that shared connected universe. But I would have loved just a standalone Spidey movie versus like... Iron Man's here. Or, even better, just have Cap be in the movie instead. Because
they had a connection.
They had a connection. New York.
Brooklyn.
But at the same time, Captain America is a wanted fugitive of the law.
Who isn't in the Marvel Universe?
I am the law.
S.H.I.E.L.D. was wanted fugitives for the longest time. They started it all. Kind of. Still waiting for my S.H.I.E.L.D. season 5.5 starring Peggy Carter again. Sure, and this actually came out this week, too, where ABC was told that they couldn't cancel S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by Disney, and then they went on to write one of the best goddamn seasons. Season 5 was awesome. I watched it all with Steve without any context, and I'm like, wow, this is really great. And I'm like, why couldn't you leave Peggy Carter alone, huh?
Why can't you give them that ultimatum and they would have maybe made it?
I'm just waiting for like that one moment in Infinity War where it's like all right, all the heroes are here. And Phil Coulson! Yay!
Or
let all the Avengers fight over why they even had the purpose, because they thought Phil Coulson was dead, but he's brought back by the Kree, apparently.
Well, that's how they bring them all back again. Phil Coulson goes and recruits them all again. Again.
Just does the Nick Fury parts from all the other post-credit scenes. But just
he actually gets hit by the punching bag that Cap is punching. But, again, my ultimate envisionment of the end of Infinity War is that they have the goddamn Infinity Stones, and they all get to live out like their one special last wish. Fucking Steve gets to go have the last dance with Peg. Clear it out.
Tony gets to talk to his dad one last time.
Fuck you! You're not my real dad.
Okay, did you not get one of the most poignant parts from Civil War of what he
killed my mother?
What he would have done differently if he had the opportunity? Were you not even paying attention to Tony Stark's heartfelt monologue before he started joking again?
You're not my dad.
He was a person again.
I know.
He was a person. And then he's like, oh, no, gotta hide my person. That's not allowed.
Peter Parker gets to say hi to Uncle Ben one last time. Again.
Oh god, that's how they bring it in.
Which,
fuck.
Still, my favorite part of Spider-Man Homecoming. No Uncle Ben death.
No, don't say now they're going to bring it in.
Even if it's in a flashback, we went one Spider-Man movie, one Spider-Man starting movie without Uncle Ben dying.
Now we can only hope that we get a Batman movie without the freaking origin.
Never.
We know.
Think about it. Like Greg Weisman did an amazing and like spectacular Spider-Man. The whole Uncle Beth scene is like part
Uncle
of
Beth?
The Venom. Uncle Beth.
No, Uncle Ben.
Like they did the whole Uncle Ben death in like really tastefully as part of like the Venom fever dream, or like I don't know. I just want something.
Just more context than oh look, he's about to get shot.
Oh God,
no.
And it's
your
all
hot
Peter's
aunts,
fault.
dude.
Just even though they don't know Peter's there. Like, hey, your aunt's pretty hot.
Your wife, am I right?
Gunshot. I'm sorry, what?
You know what also goes bang? This.
Okay, if Marissa Tomei is Aunt May, Who would be Uncle Ben?
Tony Stark.
Ryan Gosling.
Actually, that's what I was thinking too. He's got that like... Oh, speaking of Ryan Gosling, did you see that image from Blade Runner where Harrison Ford was supposed to, you know, act fake punch Ryan Gosling? He actually throws a punch. Harrison Ford's face is hilarious, and so is Ryan Gosling. They're both surprised by it.
And the whole interview is like, well, he should be glad he only got hit once. Harrison Ford is like the perfect Uncle Grandpa.
Uncle Grandpa.
He's just angry all the time.
They're dumb kids taking out movies.
I remember Blaine was talking about the Rooster Teeth podcast. And how he walked by him and he just heard him growl. I was like, oh my God.
Harrison Ford, granted it!
And it's not me who blows the levels this episode.
Yeah, you had your fair share.
Just shut up. Zach, this last topic seems about you.
Yes, it is. It's a pretty cool thing. So, Danny O'Dwyer, the Irish cream, formerly of, he's done GameSpot and a bunch of other like video game journalism stuff.
Kind of Funny.
Yep, he was on Kind of Funny Games Daily, which I listen to religiously now. Very sad to see him go, but he started his own Patreon documentary series about video games a year or two ago, I think. I'm not sure how long ago he did it. It's called Noclip. It's all on YouTube, too. YouTube, too.
Yes. Like YouTube2.com or like YouTube
T-O-O.
Is it like the bastard cousin of YouTube?
RuneScape 2.
No, that's RedTube.
I got demonetized on YouTube. Time to go to YouTube 2.
But
YouPorn.
He started off this week with releasing the first part to his 6-part mini series for the development of the Witcher series, which obviously one of my all-time favorite game series now.
Are you sure? You never talk about
no,
it.
No, I know. I don't talk about it very much at all. But I started watching the first episode. I'm about halfway through. And like they go into the history, like he starts off with the history of CD Projekt, and he talks with the co-founder, and he's gonna talk to a bunch of the developers of how the game became over the course of the next 3 hours of content, and it's gonna be all free, and it's gonna be released weekly, so go check that out and go give some Noclip some love because he's putting out some really great stuff if you like video game journalism and just like history and stuff.
Neat.
And Danny O'Dwyer is awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the whole Witcher phenomenon has been really cool to follow and listen to. Like, I don't know anyone that, like, plays the games religiously or has, like, a whole set of toys upstairs of all the Witcher figures, but, like, yeah. Oh, thanks for pointing at me. I do have a whole set on my bookshelf.
I mean, it's not like any of us here in this house have any obsessions.
No, not at all.
It's not like someone has a whole bookshelf full of just DC trades and... Or someone has the whole collection, even the exclusive pop figures of My Hero, and like 3 shirts.
Or like an entire row of Batman.
And even
went
to the step of downloading the Japanese-only game of My Hero on his phone.
I'm so excited because I went to Hot Topic yesterday with dear old Kayla, and they have Riverdale clothing, and you can get Jughead's hat.
About that.
And you can also get Riverdale Vixens. Shirt.
What about the Southside Serpents?
There is a giant patch for a leather jacket that they're selling on it for it too.
Fuck, I need a leather jacket. I'm gonna be part of the Southside Serpents.
Or a jean jacket. But when we were there, they were selling like all the Justice League pops, and I'm like, oh look, Superman ground pounding. Batman, I need this Batman eventually. But the best part, Porg plushes.
He's everywhere. He's infecting the world.
I just enjoy... I'm sure I'm waiting until I'm like, it's like the whole Jar Jar effect. Like people got so hyped about Jar Jar, they got him tattooed on their backs and they walked out of Phantom Menace. They're like, oh God. So I'm going to wait until Last Jedi comes out and I'm like, feel the waters of how I feel for Porg. Like it looks adorable, but I'm like, ooh.
Is it the next Ewok?
It turns out that Porg is Darth Plagueis. They just form together and put a Sith coat on and there's a hive mind of Darth Plagueis.
Have you ever heard of the tragedy?
No! Why would you do that?
But no, I hope they don't go full Ewok. They're already at that level of Ewok where the adorable furry creatures like everyone loves. As long as they don't go the Porg Christmas special or the Porg Adventures, I'm cool with it.
Give it time.
Porg is also not a meal, according to Mark Hamill.
I'll be back.
Oh, what should we talk about while Dad's away? Did he mute his mic? Okay, he did mute his mic, not our mic. So, see, what do you want to talk about?
I don't fucking know. It's late.
Yeah, we're recording late. I didn't leave work until like 6.
I dropped all my comedic talent on the Avenged Geriatrics and the Turkey Force.
So the Avenged Geriatrics, like, instead of like Steve Rogers with a shield, it's like he's in a wheelchair and then he has like two shields as the wheels and he throws them.
Oh my god, would be Iron Man.
Back brace.
I was gonna say either that or the Iron Lung. Just him rolling around in an iron lung.
This is all copyright, by the way. We already submitted the trademark.
We are putting the Z2 stamp on this right now.
Cyclops was never part of the Avengers, but he's just blind. Just like
Thor, Mjolnir.
Laser beams.
Mjolnir just becomes a giant cane.
Ooh. I like that idea.
Let's see. Hulk. Well, we already have.
He lost all of his gym muscles.
He's just
they're all superficial.
Flabby skin. He just hits people with his flabs. Hulk flab.
Did I ever tell you the story that where I met Lou Ferrigno at the gym?
No.
It was like one of the first DCCs. You're staying at like the Hyatt. And I go to the gym to work out because, you know, I'm a gym rat. And I'm doing my dumbbell bench press. Uh-huh. And then this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, you want to tighten up your form? You want to do this and this range of motion? He like motions to my arms. And it's like, you could probably go up 5 more pounds too. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. He's like, yeah. Are you here for the convention? I'm like, yeah, dude. It's like, cool. I'll see you there. And I'm walking around the convention later. I'm like, holy shit, it's that guy. He's like, hey, man, you correct your form? I'm like, yeah, dude, thanks. It's like, great. Sits behind his table. I'm like, holy shit, that was Lou Ferrigno who gave me gym tips.
You got workout tips from the incredible fucking Hulk.
I also ran into Radagast the Brown. Literally, like, I bumped into him. And then we were in an elevator with Chandler Riggs.
And Commander Shepard.
And Commander Shepard. Shepard.
Matt Mercer. I was right next to him.
It was a good time. I was back before Matt Mercer went like full long hair.
Before Matt Mercer was the backup Troy Baker.
Is he considered the backup Troy Baker now? Because I thought Nolan North is the new backup Troy Baker.
Nolan North is the new Nolan North.
I only call him the backup Troy Baker because there was one role that Troy Baker did first, and then in something else, either like a show version of it or in like the sequel game, Matt Mercer played the same role, and I couldn't distinguish the voice for a little bit. It's like, oh, neat, Troy Baker's back. Wait, that's Matt Mercer. What is life? Troy Baker is on my list of people I need to meet one day. I have a whole list that is mainly voice actor people who I need to meet one day.
I feel you.
I think it's a good place to call it.
We should talk about Marvel Legacy really fast. Like, so super late. Fucking fast. Or we can talk about when everyone reads it.
Let's talk about when everyone reads it.
Yeah, it gives everyone a week. So thank you guys. Super late for us because they were raiding yesterday, and by the time they finished the raid, we weren't feeling it. And then today is just super late. We make this podcast for all of you. And shout out to all the people that recently followed us today. And
shout out to Joe, who keeps getting us likes. Like, literally, I looked at the Z2 messages today. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I want to talk. Like, to the too. First one was like, hey, I want to talk about this. Hey, let's do this. Going to get you a bunch of likes today. And then I look at the notifications.
40 likes later?
Yeah, 14 new likes. Like,
what the fuck?
Black magic!
You know, we really should go to the airport and take a new Z2 picture outside, like, the airport sign.
Why the airport?
You remember? See, look.
Oh.
Where we found the Z2.
Yeah, and you sent that to me when you guys were going to Emerald City.
Hang on. Where's the picture? There's me and the Uruk-hai. There you go. Me, Troy Baker.
I already know. Have Rachel redraw us one. I'm like you're talking about.
I can draw us one with spray paint cans.
You could have Kelly do one, too. She's an artist.
Ooh.
She can draw.
Artist off.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to stab a spray paint can and just let it bleed. All right, how does this look?
I think it just explodes.
It's abstract. Good.
If you squint your eyes and close your left eye and close your right eye and imagine the Z2 logo, you'll see the Z2 logo.
You can go look at that. I opened that for you. All right, so thank you guys for listening to us. It's always a pleasure to come down here and talk about the Avenger Geriatrics. We did figure out that Captain America would use a wheelchair and he would throw the wheels.
Oh my god.
Thor Mjolnir would become a cane.
Cyclops, who's never been an Avenger, would just be blind and then just laser things randomly.
Nice.
Falcon would actually be a Falcon, like just a normal just a Peregrine.
Oh yeah, Iron Man would be in an iron lung. He would retrofit an iron lung to be able to just move around wherever he wants to.
Has that movie came out yet with Andrew Garfield in the iron lung?
Okay. Actually, maybe. I don't know.
I was really looking forward to that.
I saw one preview for it and never again.
Yeah. All right. So thank you guys for listening once again. We're closing the show out. So as always, if you have not already, hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, our website, YouTube, wherever you listen to us, and leave us the thumbs up, leave us a like, leave us a rating, because that helps the magical systems that is the internet help our outreach a little bit more. And we want to be able to reach out to as many people as we can.
It helps us find more awesome viewers like you.
Do we also want to reach out and touch faith?
What?
Okay. Reach out and touch faith.
It's your own personal Jesus.
Ah. Sorry. I don't know, man. I'm tired. Do the special algorithm, and we love you, internet. Goodbye.
Hi. Peace.